would like to read in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now the Gospel by John, again, chapter 12, chapter 13. Chapter 13, and verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now the Gospel by Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. A final verse in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now we trust the Lord will bless what we have heard with these verses that we have read together. May the Spirit of God help us to preach the gospel faithfully and tenderly from these solemn scriptures. I would like tonight to speak on the simple thought of going away. I look back 35 years, whenever I left Northern Ireland to come to Canada, I remember going away. It was a very sad occasion. I was an only child, and my father and mother especially my mother, she was heartbroken. Why? Because I was going away. Others have been to the docks. They have watched their sons go to the war. They were going away, never to see them again, for some. I slept in the same room as my grandfather for a number of years. I remember going to him. I says, "Grandpa, I'm going away, and I will likely never see you again." That was a solemn moment for me. He says, "What do you mean? Are you not coming back?" Well, I says, "I might come back, but will you be here?" At that time, he was 88 years of age. "Well," he said, "I might be." But when I went back, he wasn't there. He lived for 3 years, and then he went home to be with the Lord. That's the last time that I saw him. Going away is very solemn, is very searching. We have read from Genesis chapter 4. Here we see Cain going away. He's going away from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because of his pride. He was not willing to bow to God's claim. There was a sacrifice for him. But just like souls tonight, that we read about in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's man's ruin, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." A solemn sight to see Cain, and he's going away from the presence of the Lord. We read in the Gospel by John chapter 13 of Judas Iscariot. Judas was sitting at the table with the 12 and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior signals him on. And he dips the bread and he gives Judas a sop as the favorite one. And immediately after the sop, Satan entered into Judas. It says, and he went out. He went away from the presence of the Lord Jesus. And it was night. It was night in Jerusalem. It was night in his heart. And as he looked into the vast future, it was a future of night, of blackness before him. Souls, come and listen to the gospel. It's night outside. They leave a gospel meeting, and it's night in their hearts. What's their future? Oh, dear soul, an everlasting night without a ray of light ever to penetrate that darkness. Judas went away, and it was night. We read in Matthew chapter 25, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." No more solemn sight in all the Bible than precious souls that have listened to the gospel and that have turned the gospel down, and they're going away. Where are they going? They're going away into everlasting punishment. I wonder, is there a soul in this meeting? Is there a man? Is there a woman? Is there a boy or a girl? My friend, you'll go away. Go away into everlasting punishment. Those that have had the opportunity of salvation, those who were once anxious to be saved, we see them going away. Everlasting punishment? Is that a fact? Or is this just preaching Oh, dear soul, tonight, the everlasting burning, they are a reality. And you without Christ tonight, there is only but one step, one slip. That's all it would take. And your soul in the everlasting fire. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who are the righteous? Those who think themselves good? No. Those who are right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have bowed and acknowledged Him as their personal Savior. They shall go away into eternal life, eternal bliss. We read John chapter 1 and verse 29. Here we see sin going away. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." As we look at the cross tonight, as we see God's beloved Son, the Lamb, what do I see in the Lamb? I see my sin going away. My sins were laid upon Him by God. He suffered. He bled. He died. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I see my sins going by the Lamb whose blood was shed that I might be saved. There may be a soul here tonight and you would like salvation. You would long to know your sins forgiven. My friend, you'll never get it in your feelings. John the Baptist had the right end of the stick whenever he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The great work of the Savior was to take away sin. The great work of the preacher is to point sinners to the Lamb who took away the sin of the world, that you may drink in the truth. He took away my sin when He died upon the cross. We have been singing some nights, "My sins were laid on Jesus. My sins were laid on Jesus when He died on Calvary. God transferred my sins from me to His Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, He took away my sin by His death upon the cross." What a great salvation. Oh, would to God tonight we could point you to the Lamb. There's no salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We would ring that in your ear again. Behold, take a good look at the Lamb of God. Why was He there upon the cross? He was there to take away sin. Did He take away your sin? He took away my sin. How do I know that I feel it? No. He took away my sin because God says it. And if God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. My sins are gone because God has said it. That's what salvation is. It's not a puzzle. It's not fitting pieces together. It's stepping out by faith on the Word of God. May you do it tonight and be saved for eternity. Now, Cain is a very solemn character as he appears in the pages of Holy Scripture. The first boy ever born into this world was Cain. He had the same opportunities as Abel. He had the opportunity of approaching God by the sacrifice of an animal. But he thought he would go one better. He brought of the fruit of the ground, the workings of his own hand, an offering unto the Lord. We are living in a world, and many people are doing their level best to get to heaven by their own deeds, and they'll never make it. Why, the Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Then Cain became jealous, and he became envious of his brother Abel. He got up and he slew his brother, and God faced him with his sin. And there came an offering he could have offered to God for his acceptance, but he was too proud. He didn't want to bow to God's claim. There are multitudes of souls down in hell tonight who refuse to bow to the claims of God. They had their own way. Cain left the presence of the Lord. What is it meant by the presence of the Lord? In Cain's presence, what he could see a flaming sword. That reminded Cain of sin. That reminded him that he could not make his own way to heaven. So he went away from the presence of the Lord. He went into the land of Nod. And there he built a city. He was going to forget about God. And he was going to have his own religion. He was going to have his own way. That's the way that he went. I would like to remind each one in this gathering tonight, Cain is down in hell, and he'll never be out. And yet he is the offer of salvation. Oh, dear soul without Christ tonight, God has offered you salvation. And if you die without a Savior, your soul will dwell in the everlasting burning, according to the Holy Scriptures. May it reach your heart tonight. May it grip your soul. We see Cain, and he's going away from the presence of the Lord. He doesn't like the presence of God. He doesn't want to be reminded of sin. Why do people not like to come to gospel meetings? Who wants to be always reminded of sin and death and judgment and hell and heaven? People don't want that kind of thing. Give a smooth thing. Friend, you've got a soul. And if you miss Christ, you'll sink into the everlasting fire to be there forever. Going away. When we turn to Revelation chapter 20, we see there a great white throne. We see souls who have died without a Savior. And then they're going away. Going away where? Oh, dear friend, into the lake of fire, forever and forever. Is that real? I remember preaching with Mr. Howell in Tatamagoosh above the liquor store a number of years ago. A dear lady attended those meetings. Her daughter was saved by grace. And she came every night. We went to, but oftentimes when we mentioned hell, I would see a smirk come on her face. I said to Mr. Hull, did you ever notice Mrs. Flanagan? When you mention hell, she has a little smirk on her face. He said, no, I never did, but I'll see. So he found out for himself. We went to visit her. I said, Mrs. Flanagan, do you believe in hell? No, she says, Mr. Bingham, I do not. Well, I says, what brings you to the meetings if you don't believe in hell? She says, I like to see boys get excited about preaching and getting on. But that's all I go for. But she says, Mr. Bingham, there's no hell. God is a God of love. Well, we believe that firmly. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For we believe that souls will perish. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Could I ask you a question? The way that you're going tonight, will it end in everlasting punishment? Or will it end in life eternal? Everlasting punishment will be misery. Will be no happiness or no joy in the everlasting burnings. Is this real? Oh, may it reach your soul tonight. May it touch every heart in this meeting, saved and unsaved, that there are those here without Christ, and you are in great danger of being in the everlasting burning, everlasting punishment, forever and forever. Cain went away. What a sad sight. From the presence of the Lord, because he wouldn't bow to God's claim. Oh, that rotten thing called pride has damped multitudes of souls, not willing to bend and bow to God's claim. We read of Judas Iscariot. He was numbered with the 12. He followed the Lord Jesus as he walked this scene of time. Others that looked upon these men, oh, they're all going to heaven. Every one of them. They're all followers. But there was one who was a fraud. There was one whose heart was not right with God. That was Judas Iscariot. Sitting around the table, the Lord Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me." They began to ask around, "Is it I? Is it I?" Even Judas said, "Master, is it I?" He did not want suspicion put upon him. Souls without Christ in a meeting, they don't want to be feel suspicious that they're being singled out. What if God has singled you out? You better get salvation, because likely it's your last time. We have been reminded again of the fig tree tonight, that which was planted among vines, and there was no fruit. And when there was no fruit, the husbandman said, "Cut it down. Cut her down. Cut him down. Why cumbereth they the ground?" Praying tonight without a Savior, what if God should say about you, "Cut him down. Cut her down"? God goes so far, his long suffering will end. Beware and get right with God. Judas Iscariot, it was dark in Jerusalem whenever he went out. What a sad sight. The devil, the prince of darkness, entered into him. Judas had witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ before. Whenever they came to take him, that he escaped out of their midst, and they didn't get him. Judas may have thought, "Will he just do the same again? I'll sell him and I'll get the money, and then he'll escape." But before his hour was not yet come, but this time his hour was come, when he was to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Sometimes people take things for granted. We get accustomed to doing things. So often, whilst just take it in our stride, we sit usually at the same seat at the table at home. There we have our breakfast and our lunch and our dinner. And it's the same seat. Well, we get accustomed to doing things like that. People get accustomed to listening to the gospel. Well, I've heard it before, and I'll hear it again. You may not. This may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, I wonder, is there a soul in this company? And my friend, you, like Judas Iscariot, you will go away into everlasting punishment. Judas Iscariot chose hell instead of heaven. Oh, what remorse, what anguish will fill his soul tonight as he's down in the everlasting burning. And yet he had the offer of salvation. That's the solemn part about it. I was thinking today of the words of Abraham to the rich man in hell. Whenever he said, "Son, remember thy lifetime." Think of Judas Iscariot remembering his lifetime. Remember, I followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw his miracles. I ate of the loaves and fishes. I had everything plenty to me. I saw his power. I knew that the dead were raised and the blind were made to see. And yet he's down in hell after seeing all that. You have seen the lives of men and women changed by the gospel of God's grace. You have seen the power of God. But if you don't get salvation, you will remember the opportunities that you had. Mr. Joyce and I had meetings in Lancelot, Labrador in 1973. We went to visit a man whose wife was in the assembly one afternoon. I'll never forget what he told us. He said, "You know, there has been only two occasions in my life that I was ever really stirred up about God's salvation and wanting to get saved." Now he says, "I've been attending some of your meetings and it hasn't even fizzed on me." But he said there was two occasions in my life. One was when Mr. Herb Harris preached the gospel in that village one Sunday night, that his heart was stirred to seek salvation. But he said, he says another man came here with the gospel, and he preached one night, and he says, "My heart was stirred that night, and I'd have loved to have been saved, but." After those meetings finished, he operated a bulldozer. He was a number of miles further north, a man about 40 years of age, with a small family. Some of them were saved. His wife was in the assembly. But as he operated the bulldozer, it was about 10:30 in the morning. The bulldozer engine was going. He was sitting on the seat, but there was no movement. Whenever they went to him, they found him a corpse. You mean to say that he sat in meetings, that he heard the gospel, that the Spirit of God dealt with him, and he wanted to be saved on two occasions, and yet he died in the seat? The RCMP were notified. And they came to Brother Alec Drybrook, and they asked him to go and break the news to his wife that her husband had died on the seat of the bulldozer. Whenever Mr. Drybrook went to the house, there were three women leaving the house, his wife and two others. He asked Mrs. Barney to come back into the house for a minute. He had something to say to her. She says, "All right," and they went back in. She says, "We're just going to the store." "Well," he said, "I have heavy tidings for you this morning." She said, "Wallace was found dead, sitting on the bulldozer seat a few miles further north." That woman, she didn't know which way to turn. She began to wring her hands. And then she began to say, I wonder. What was she wondering? Oh, she was wondering, did Wallace settle the matter? Did Wallace get saved? If that man didn't get saved, could I have your thought for a moment? Think of that dear soul down in hell, remembering two occasions whenever he could have gotten saved, but he didn't. Will there be a soul in this meeting? Is there a young man? And my friend, if you die without Christ, will you remember meetings, not only these meetings, meetings in the past, whenever you stopped to inquire the way of salvation, and yet you missed out on salvation? Oh, what a memory. A memory down in hell to remember times when you could have been saved, but yet you didn't get it. Going away into everlasting punishment. But then the going away of sin. The Lord Jesus upon the cross. Ah, that was His great purpose in coming. To take away sin. He took away my sin. Can He take away your sin? Did the Lord Jesus on Calvary take away your sin? How would you know? You never seen Him? Neither did I. How do I know? My friend, I know by His Word. We are born again by the Word of God. Would you, as a poor sinner tonight, stake your soul's eternal welfare on God's Word? You could have nothing more solid, nothing more concrete than the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My Word shall not pass away. Behold, look to the Lamb. Don't look within. Look to the Lamb. What's He doing? He's taking away my sin. Make it personal. Make Him yours, and you too will know the joy of sins forgiven. The bitten Israelite, he was told to look at a brazen serpent. That was all. Look to that serpent, and you'll be healed. The sinner in this meeting tonight is told by God to look to Christ. What's He doing? Taking away my sin. Make it personal. Taking away your sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And if He took away the sin of the world, He took away mine. And if He took away my sin, where's my sin? They're not on me. I agree with God. I take His word for it, that Christ the Lamb upon the cross shed His blood to take away my sin. And He did. Thank God. May you trust Him now for His name's sake.